minute to go. 1 minute to say goodbye before we say hello.
TheForce.net and RebelScum.com present The Forcecast. And now your hosts, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
And welcome to The Forcecast. We are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com, and proud to be your weekly dose of Star Wars. Yes, the galaxy is listening. My name is Jason. With me always, my good buddy Pete.
Happy New Year's, everybody.
And this is our Forcecast Year in Review, where we take some of the hottest and most exciting issues of the year in Star Wars fandom, and we kind of had a little roundtable with some folks from the Star Wars community. We've got a great panel, and we had a blast doing this, so I hope you get a lot out of it. Who do we have, Pete? We had Dustin Roberts, the official fan club president.
The human holocron, Jay Shepard.
Dan Curto, the guy that knows more about Hasbro Star Wars figures and toys than anybody else I know.
And, of course, you and I.
Right. And we're just kind of playing referee here.
Bringing what we can.
Right. So I think that you're really going to enjoy this. Like we've said before, we've had requests for a show like this. And send us some feedback. Let us know what you thought so that we can plan to do some more of these in the future. I know we all had a good time doing it. So we want to wish you a happy new year and hope you enjoy the roundtable. And stay tuned after for a few words from us. Happy New Year, everybody. All right, to start off, we should probably just kind of go around and introduce ourselves so that everybody knows who's speaking. I'll go ahead and start. I'm Jason, co-host of The Forcecast.
I'm Pete, co-host of The Forcecast.
I'm Dustin.
Hey, this is Jovial Jay.
This is Dan.
All right.
Rebels come.
Okay. Well, guys, I think what we'll do is just get started with probably one of the biggest news stories in 2006, especially for Dustin. Was the fan club, the official fan club, opening up to have a honorary presidency. And, Dustin, when did that campaign start for you?
I want to say it was the end of February. Philip asked me, he said, hey, you want to go for it? And I said, sure, why not? And I misread the fine print. I thought it ended in the middle of March or something like that, but it was actually a couple months later. So I got suckered into a longer, more torturous, waiting period there until they found out, who won and everything.
Right. What'd you guys think of that? I mean, I thought it was a pretty cool promotion. I mean, it was pretty obvious what they wanted it for was to drum up memberships. I mean, it was clever the way they tied it in to actually plunking down your money and kind of voting for somebody for $30.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was the fact that nobody was really doing anything, and then Dustin got involved, and then you started seeing, we need to put our candidate forward, and other people just, started popping out of the woodwork. So
jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Well, and it was kind of a hard-fought campaign, too. I mean, there towards the end, I don't think we knew exactly who was going to win until the official announcement, right?
Well,
yeah, the final online stats, which according to the rules were not actually final until they, did whatever behind the scenes stuff they had to do. It was looking like Dustin, was really close and might not even be able to pull it out there.
Yeah, it was very like Kennedy and Nixon there towards the end.
Those exit polls can't be all that accurate, so.
Right.
So what's it been like, Dustin?
It's been a blast. I've had fun with this. I've got people emailing me, asking, if they need help with something, and, I know where to point them out, where to send them and get them help now. I got to go to San Diego for the trip. Just did an editorial in the latest issue of The Insider, and hopefully I'll get to do something at Celebration 4. So looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm sure you. Is there any indication as to if this is going to be an annual thing with Hyperspace?
I think they probably had it in mind. They were probably going to do something like this annually, but with the way that this turned out and was handled, I don't think they're going to do it again. So I'm not sure what the future holds for the Star Wars fan club president role.
So you may be the first and only.
Correct.
It's got the markings of a dictatorship all over it. Just conveniently, they're not going to do it again.
No, I'm sure somebody will come along to replace me. So.
I believe you may be manipulating your power just to stay in office much longer than you deserve.
Well, I thought it was...
I love democracy.
I love hyperspace.
So be it.
Well, no, I mean, overall, I thought it was a cool promotion. But, you know, it kind of begs the question, can they do anything on the web like this without manipulation? I mean, Dan, you ran into this with the with the Saga Legends. I mean, it seems like no matter what you do, there's always going to be a way around it. It makes it difficult for, you know, folks like us to do these kind of promotions and people like Hasbro and Hyperspace.
Well, I mean, and the other thing that I heard a lot on a couple of the forums I was in was people were like, oh, cool, I get to, I can run for president. Oh, wait a second, I'm not eligible because I live out of the country, because this is just for the, you know, the U.S. Even though it's through the official website, which anyone in the world can get to, it's the U.S. fan club.
I didn't realize that. It was open to U.S. residents.
Right, and I believe the Darth Who contest that they're having... or they just finished up, was the same sort of thing. Like, there was limitations on the voting or, you know, who could actually win. And, I mean, I think that rubs a lot of the foreign fans raw, too, because, I mean, they make up a huge amount of the fan club, even though it's, you know, another instance of the fan club, like the UK fan club or the Belgian fan club.
Yeah, don't they have their own fan club?
Right, but there's only one StarWars.com, and... But it represents, but you know, it being the one and only, it represents the U.S. group. These other fan clubs, I don't think have anything comparable to these, you know, contests. So,
yeah, I think with the Darth Who, it might be a little difficult because you may run into some language issues. You know, there may be someone who might have a really great name, but it's, you know, could be in German and it just isn't going to translate very well into English. Or goes, I guess you could say the opposite too, because these books get translated into. I mean, Jay, you would probably know. I mean, your typical hardback Del Rey Star Wars book, roughly how many languages those get translated into?
I mean, just by going what I've seen on the Force.net, I mean, we've got at least 7 major ones that I know of. You know, you got like Japanese and French and Italian and Spanish. So, I mean, it just... Yeah, they release these in pretty much every language, as far as I know.
Okay.
Or the major markets.
So you could have a really cool name like
Darth Gesundheit.
Yeah. Well, like what is Darth for example, would it be Darth Sidious? Be Darth Sidious in when it's translated? Do they? I guess it would be because it's a proper name.
Well, but Darth Vader isn't Darth Vader in all releases of the film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I mean, Vader in German, I believe, is father. So,
correct.
I think they changed his name.
Right.
So
okay,
and they do that with the droids and stuff too. They translate the names to be something, to be a similar sort of style there. But
well, with this, I mean, with the fan club president, I think that they probably could open it up to. It'd be nice if they opened it up to folks that were outside the U.S.
I think they should.
It'd be a great spin. I mean, it would, as interesting as Dustin's, you know, commentary was in this latest issue of Insider, it'd be great to have the other, you know, a viewpoint from someone who's outside the U.S. It'd be a thrill for them because a lot of them don't get they don't get spoiled like we do.
I think that's a good point. I think that having it open to any Star Wars fan anywhere that can get access to the website, I mean, I think that's kind of what... Star Wars promotes, just that, you know, the bonding between all the fans around the world.
Right, and with all those free laptops that are going to be given away, or $100 laptops given away, to, you know, imagine just how many more people are going to be discovering this stuff.
Yeah.
So
wind it up.
But I have to say, and this is not, you know, I'm not trying to suck up or kiss up or anything, but in all seriousness, I think, Dustin, I think you've done an extraordinary job. I don't think that it could have happened to somebody more plugged into the community, and you've been an excellent ambassador. And like you said, kind of, you know, you get an email from somebody, you know where to direct them, you know where to point them. And there are a lot of people that could have won this that wouldn't have those tools. And so I think, you know, we had the right guy for the first year, if they ever do it again.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem.
I try. I mean, you know, so I'm just the average fan, man. I'm just like everybody listening out there. I'm just an average guy, and you know, my passion is what I do. You know,
yeah,
Star Wars and the community and the websites and all this stuff. It's my hobby, and I'm very passionate about it. And I'm going to try to promote it and do what I can to keep it going.
So technically, when are you out of office?
I believe they announced. Well, like when did they announce the winner? They announced the winner like. It was like, no, it was like 2 weeks before San Diego or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, yeah.
Because I remember I was like, man, you know, I got two weeks to go. Or yeah. So.
Well, I would be excited to
end
hear
of June,
your,
end of June.
I would be excited to hear your farewell speech.
My farewell speech.
Yeah. I think that's you suckers.
I think that should debut exclusively on the Forcecast.
Something tells me it probably will, actually. Speaking of the Forcecast, that actually is one of the next things we wanted to talk about, since we, you know, talked up Dustin in the presidency. This crazy podcast idea that you had, and this is sort of like the next gen. This is like Forcecast 2.0 that we started here a few months ago. Are you guys enjoying this so far? Do you think that it's fulfilling what it was intended to do?
I think you guys have gone above and beyond what we were planning to do with this, to tell you the truth. It just keeps growing and getting better and better every week. I love it.
Oh, yeah, shucks.
Well, we'd be sitting around, it's like, who's on the podcast email? Well, are we going to do this again? I don't know. We got to find someone. Okay, all right. I move them back to their normal jobs. And then Dustin says, yeah, you know, hey, I found some guys, and I got their demo tape. Let's, you know, check it out and tell me what you think. And, I mean, for me, I was just, like, blown away. I was like, so, okay, these guys, A, are not getting paid for this, and B, they made this full-scale demo to send in.
That demo, oh, God. We've got nightmares about listening to it. We've never listened to it since we turned it into you.
We're going to save that for the blooper reel. Yeah. That will be played one of these days. It was hilarious. I still got it on my hard drive.
Well,
to make that a microcast.
There you go. Yeah.
No, you know what? Yeah. That's what's funny. That's just it, Dad. It ain't no microcast. This thing is a 45-minute marathon.
Oh, wow.
It is. I mean, it's and it's like, wow, you know, look, you know, they go to this extra length, and you know, it was good. There's, you know, they have good camaraderie, and you know, they're sharing information to the community, and you know, just have a good, you know, audio presence. It's like, all right, let's roll with this.
You know what's funny though is that I had emailed, I don't know how many times I've emailed Rebel Scum, and you know, before all this. Yeah, I know you hadn't. No one had. I never
Jason
got a
who?
Reply. Yeah. I never got a reply. I'd find stuff in the stores, or I'd have some.
Oh, we ignore those emails. I'm just kidding.
There were a couple. I can't think of anything offhand. There were a couple times I thought, oh, they need to know about this. I'd never get a reply. So when I saw on Force.net that you had posted this about, you know, what the podcast wanted, I'd never dreamed in a million years I'd get a reply. Never in a million years. And so I get a reply, and I'm like, oh, no.
what are we going to do?
They liked it. Oh, man.
So I ran over and I said, hey, Pete, I got good news. They want to hear a demo. News. And yeah, I need you to do it with me. So
and I have to relate this story just because it was so entertaining. We were all concerned about having content and everything for the demo. And we got over to Jason's one night when we decided we were going to do it. And it must have taken us 4.5 hours to even get anything to record. And so it was like 9 o'clock by the time we started recording. We're like, maybe you should do this again tomorrow.
Oh, it was so terrible. We were up so late.
It was a comedy of errors, just getting everything. And it continues to be, unfortunately. We have a lot of trial and error that we go through. But
every week there's something new and that comes up. I mean, just the technology of this thing. There's always something to screw with. I mean, just like tonight, you know, trying to get Dan on and stuff. Stuff like this happens. You just hope it doesn't happen when you're talking to Jeremy Bullock.
Exactly.
But it's been a blast for us, and we're enjoying it. And I hope it seems like all the listeners out there are enjoying it. And, I mean, I guess our vision is to, if you don't have time to be checking the website, I mean, clearly the podcast is not. It is not a replacement of the website by any means, but if you don't have time to be checking it every day, maybe you're on the road a lot or you got a long commute, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to give you the week in review, plus some commentary and just plus some fun and maybe an interview with somebody from the Star Wars community. So that's what we're trying to do. So,
and it's working. And,
yeah, you guys are doing a great job. I mean, look at the interviews that you've had, and we've had, what, like 12 episodes now or something?
15, 16?
15, I believe, yeah.
Yeah. While we're recording this, 15. So, anyway, so that's enough laurels and plaudits to us. Let's talk about the unaltered original trilogy collection on DVD. Probably one of the biggest events of 2006, and it. Well, let's ask the question: was it an event or was it a non-event?
I think the announcement was the event, but the actual delivery was the non-event.
Yeah.
In my opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The announcement itself, I remember the day it happened. I had gotten an email from somebody, and they'd found it on a website or overheard somebody, and the rumor was just breaking. And, you know, so I started sending out a few emails, say, hey, has anybody heard anything on this? And we were getting ready to post the news, and Philip said, no, let's wait on this and check something. And it wasn't 20 minutes later, he calls me on the phone and says, they just posted it at StarWars.com. It just went live because I think they found out that it was leaked, that it was getting ready to blow out. So they're like, go live with it now. You know what I mean? Because it was like, it wasn't their normal update time. Like,
yeah, it was like the middle of the afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an odd time. It was like out of the blue, bam, there was the news. And we're like, where did this come from? You know, because as far as we had known, this was something that was never going to happen.
I thought it was a prank.
Exactly. We couldn't believe it. We're like, where did this come from?
Yeah, I totally
out of the blue. That was the event. That was the event. Was the it just out of the blue announcement? Bam! There.
We will absolutely never release these on DVD.
I caught you looking.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad they're there. I wish they were a little cleaned up. But
yeah, I mean, wasn't that?
You know, what are you gonna do?
Right.
It was bittersweet.
But it was. I mean, but wasn't it a bit of? Wasn't it a bit of a convenient argument to say? Well, you all wanted these crappy versions.
Yeah, exactly. It was just, you know, I don't know.
Well, and I think part of the non-event was the fact that it was a victim of its own bad press right off the bat. I mean, within hours, I remember of hearing about the announcement, there was already a post somewhere about how it wasn't going to be widescreen, it wasn't going to be, cleaned up, it wasn't going to have the enhanced audio or anything like that. So it already was... after the good news had already come out, it was right away there was negative press that followed right after it. So it became a victim of itself right off the bat, and you couldn't even bask in the glory of the announcement because it went sour.
It did go south pretty quick, and they were doing some damage control.
Yeah, Bill Hunt over the Digital Bits had something up right away about that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, Digital Bits. But any press is good press. So and here's the way you got to think about it. Every year they got to try to keep Star Wars in the limelight at least once a year to keep interest going.
Right.
So if you look back at all these DVD releases and this and that and the cartoons, you'll see a pattern. And my guess is it was, crunch time for something to come out, and they're like, well, we've got this, let's do this.
Dustin, you bring up a really good point, because if you remember right when StarWars.com posted that story about behind the scenes of the Shadows of the Empire campaign. Pete and I discussed that on the cast several weeks ago. There was an interview with one of the folks at Lucasfilm, and that's what they were doing. All of a sudden, George says, "Hey, guess what? We're not going to have a new movie for 07." And they're like, "Well, what do we do? What do we do? We got to do something." So, do you think maybe something else fell through?
Well, it might have been the video game that they're doing for next year.
Yeah, maybe that got pushed back.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know how those... I mean, it's like, oh, next generation consoles are coming out, and maybe something was there for that, but who knows? I mean, this was... I mean, it was, what, about a year plus after the Revenge of the Sith release, right?
Yeah. Well, it was November to November, right? Did they come out in November? No. When did they
come out?
They
came out in September.
September. Okay, so a little less than a year.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But that goes right into the fall, you know what I mean?
Sure, but then come
spring, we're looking at 30th anniversary, and then, you know, and then in the fall, there's going to be the cartoon. There's a pattern there.
You're right. It just made me wonder whether maybe something bigger fell through or something different fell through, because they seemed...
Out of the blue
and rushed.
Yes. And you can't say that they're not going to clean them up and do it, because look what they just did here.
You think
so? You know these are coming.
There's got to be
some kind of massive, you know, ultimate DVD set coming.
Well, we're gonna talk about that
eventually. Oh,
yeah,
I mean,
right, yeah, we're gonna talk about that later.
No.
But I mean, Bill Hunt. We were talking about him on Digital Bits. I mean, this guy knows for a solid, absolute fact that there are, you know, decent film transfers available or you know, whatever it would take, masters of some sort, to actually produce these. He knows for a fact. I mean, and it seemed pretty concrete, you know, when I was reading it. I mean, there are films or copies of these floating around that could be used to make an anamorphic transfer.
Is, people didn't want that, though. If you recall, when the special editions came out just a couple of years ago, everybody was complaining they wanted the original version.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Lucasfilm took them to heart and said, "Okay, we'll give you the original version." And people still complain.
Listen to Dan.
We're complaining to this day, as a matter of fact. Well,
yeah.
Well, and like Dustin said, any press is good press, and there's no other franchise out there where there would be this much debate about a DVD release. I mean, yeah, even the Lord of the Rings franchises and all that other stuff, that there's no one else, no other thing that gets as much movement out of just something simple like that.
Well, you know, Lord of the Rings had the good fortune of getting their ultimate editions right away. You know,
that's right. They did it right the first time.
Yeah. All right.
They're still re-releasing those. I mean, they just had new versions
of that.
That's
right. That's right.
That's right.
But
they're
actually lesser. They're stripped down.
Yeah, yep. But look at it this way. I mean, and this is what I've seen since I've been more in with the online community. I mean, just going to forums and working at Rebel Scum. Star Wars fans are, you know, very... fervent about, you know, what they like and what they don't like, and when there's something they don't like, they're very vocal about it. And it seems like, you know, well, okay, there's got to be something that everyone hates or, you know, has to complain about loudly. And, you know, this year it happened to be the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. On DVD. You know, previously it's been, oh, you know, we got, you know, beefy chest Luke and dog face Leia.
Jar Jar.
Right.
What's wrong with Jar Jar?
Was that Jar Jar Binks joining us on
the show? Howdy, guys. Mr. Gotta Run. You, Jar Jar.
Peace out.
Well,
the show took a dark turn.
You know what? You know what's funny, though? We're all complaining, and I'm willing to bet that just about all of us have them, right? Did we all buy them?
I don't have them yet.
Yeah. What, Jay,
I
you said no?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I did not buy them.
All right. So
I'm actually prefer the special editions.
I do, too. But I still bought them.
I'm the opposite end of the spectrum here.
I like that 10, though.
Oh, the
I like the 10, the Best Buy 10.
Oh, the Best Buy, right.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to get the the comic books, but I had asked for them for Christmas, so I may actually have a set that somebody bought for me back in September, whenever, with the comics in them. But I want them for the comics. I mean, I'll put the DVDs on my shelf, and I may watch them once, but based on what I've heard, I'd rather get a nicer copy. And I didn't want to spend my own money for it, otherwise I would have gone out and bought them right away.
I say that the only one of the three that I prefer the original is probably Jedi. And maybe it's just because that's the one that I have the most vivid memory of seeing when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That might be it. But I like the I like the way the Jabba's Palace sequence went in the original. I think some of the cuts that they made for the special edition, inserting some old footage of Jabba and Ula, just it you know, one of the things about George Lucas is I think he's an incredible editor. I think he edits these films so beautifully and so well. And that segment, for some reason, in the special edition, takes me out of it.
Hmm.
I think we've probably... Anybody have anything else to say about the original trilogy on DVD? We all good? Do we feel good?
I'm good.
We've vented enough?
I like the original trilogy.
Do you?
Yeah. Better than the prequel trilogy, so there, I got that out of the way.
Oh, that was unsolicited, but fine. All right, from the
okay. Next topic.
Well, we're going to turn
to Dustin. Were you happy?
Was I happy?
Were you happy with the ones that came out?
No, not really. But I mean, I like having both versions.
Cha-ching.
I wish they were. A little bit better, that's all. You know.
All I wanted is just fill up my $1,700 television, okay? That's all I ask.
And the next time they come out, they will be a little bit better.
Exactly.
Time, a little bit better.
Hey, a little bit more for that little bit better version.
All right, well, let's turn the page now to collectibles. It was, I think it was a really good year for collectibles. I think the licensees really pulled out a lot of good stuff. Dan, Definitely. You want to talk a little bit about Hasbro, let's look at the Saga Collection for 2006. You know, what are your thoughts? Hits and misses.
I think this was a really strong year for a non-movie year. I mean, we got a lot of toys this year than we might have, say, like back in 2004, where we didn't really get a whole lot.
Yeah.
The Saga Collection line was a nice mix of characters from all the different films. A lot of figures we've seen before, which is going to be the norm, it seems. So we're going to see a mix of brand new figures and repaints, re-releases. I think we'll see 500 Darth Vader a few more times before it's all said and done. It's also looking like we're going to see Anakin Skywalker, number two, a few more times before all is said and done.
He is number two, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
toy-wise, we got a lot. We got a lot of exclusive vehicles. We got a lot of, different kind of stuff. Some of it, not... I'm not the target audience for the choppers. I'm not a fan of the Tactics line or the Force Battlers or the Transformers, but, I mean, there are people that love them. So, I mean, they really did try to put something out there for everyone, I thought.
Well, and from my standpoint, I've got two kids, and they, you know, weren't around when some of these figures were released originally. So the fact that they get to see them on the cards again and, you know, can ask for them, I mean, that's kind of what they're going for. It's just like when you're in the vintage days, you know, you weren't around in 1977 to buy your Luke Skywalker Tatooine. Okay, well, he gets re-released on an Empire card. He gets re-released on a Return of the Jedi card.
That's a great point, Jay. That's something I had never made that connection in my head between this.
Yeah.
I had never had before. But yes, they used to do that all the time. Of course they did in the vintage days.
Right. I mean, all figures were always available. Like, you could always get a Stormtrooper. And now they've just got so many figures. And, you know, for the longest time, I mean, I think personally, And I'm a figure collector that's trying to slow down a little bit, and I can because they're doing some of these re-releases. And I'm starting to make more choices about what I'm buying just because I have to watch my, bottom dollar. But, you know, we got spoiled for a long time because, I mean, there was, you know, what, 5-6 years we didn't really get any kind of repeats.
Yeah, that's right.
Except for maybe in a box set or something like that, you know, or the, cinema scenes or something like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, Attack of the Clones comes out and you've got all these, you know, quote, peg warmers, you know, coming back. But, you know, they're the characters that fly off the shelf. Everyone buys Darth Vader. I mean, it's like, you know, you hear about, oh, they're putting out more Darth Vader. I mean, how many times do you go in and see a Darth Vader sitting there on the shelf? I saw one today. And
yeah.
They're releasing him in mass, you know?
That's something that I think a lot of people miss, is that people like characters like Darth Vader and Yoda, R2-D2, Chewbacca, I mean, the adult collectors like us, we have those already. But the kids come in, they're like, hey, that's, to them, that's Star Wars.
Exactly.
You're going to always want them. Yeah, you're always going to want to see Darth Vader and Yoda and Obi-Wan. You're going to want to see them on the shelves because those are the characters that the kids are going to want to get.
And even though people get upset with these repacks and stuff, it's like, oh, the Hailfire droid's out again. I got to go buy it because it's in a new box. Okay, well, first off, we're going to talk about OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder, here on the show today. but, you know, I mean, you have to make some choices. And are you going to collect everything that comes out in every package? Well, if so, great. I hope you have the space. I hope you have the money. But, you know, you got people that are constantly getting in and out of this collecting, you know, from an adult standpoint, but you got kids, you know, who are now at the right age. Oh, that's a cool looking ship, and it's in this, you know, it's in a new box. Yeah, but they, again, they weren't buying it back during Attack of the Clones, you know, four years ago. So
right.
There it is on the shelf again. It's like, great, you know, that's a cool toy, by the way. I love that one. That's on my desk at work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that you were able to walk into Target and get an Imperial shuttle here at the end of the year for $59.99 when the previous release at FEO Schwarz was $125.
Yeah.
And you get two figures, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, and there's an alternate version where the figures are reversed, so you have to buy that one. Darth Vader's on the left one, and he's on the right.
Dan, I gotta ask you this.
Coming soon to our photo archives.
I gotta ask you, because you deal a lot with the folks at Hasbro. You talk to them. Have they ever made any comments to you? Do they laugh at the collectors that try to get all of these variants? Do they think it's funny?
Well,
because their screw up becomes, you know, someone's collectible.
They don't do it intentionally. If you're talking about like card variants and things like that, some of those are done intentionally. Specifically, C-3PO with the different heads that came out this year.
Yeah,
one was a battle droid head. One was the regular C-3PO head. That kind of stuff is done intentionally because they know collectors will buy them. I mean, they're a business. They go to make money.
Sure.
But another interesting type of thing, and this isn't something that Hasbro told me, it's just something that I know from being a toy geek for most of my life. People eat that stuff up. I mean, the slightest variation, and people are just like, cool, I want every single one of them.
That's kind of like the Luke throne room confrontation with the glove on the wrong hand.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, well, in the... There was, I remember when the speeder bikes came out, the Luke speeder bike, and there was one where the box, he wasn't pictured up with the glove, and one he was. I mean,
yep. Go back even further than that. You got Luke Skywalker with the long lightsaber, with the short lightsaber, the long tray, the short saber, short tray.
Does the short saber long tray exist? I want to know.
Yes.
Because that thing books for like $2,000 or something insane like that.
Well, you kind of just answered your own question, didn't you?
Well, yeah, but I've never actually seen one.
Hey, Dustin, get Sansweet on the line here. Let's check this out.
Well, no. I mean the fact that, you know, a lot of times they do this kind of stuff intentionally, because they know there are collectors out there that just want to get crazy variations like that. So, you know, take advantage.
Well, I remember... you know, earlier in the year, or late last year, I should say, when we first started seeing the photos being posted of the Saga collection for 06, I really loved it. I loved the design of the card. I actually really liked the idea of the Uggs. I thought the Lucas mail-in campaign was cool. It was a figure that I actually wanted for a mail-in. So I like that promotion. I didn't get, I'll admit, I didn't get a complete set of Uggs. And, you know, it wasn't for lack of trying. There were just some of them that we just didn't get in this area. But it was still kind of fun. It put the fun back into collecting for me, actually.
Hey, and Jason, and just so if anyone doesn't know what an UGG is, those are the Ultimate Galactic Hunt. Was that it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, thanks, Jay.
Silver ones?
Right. So I thought...
Yeah, they're, something about that was that the figures themselves were exactly the same. So if you wanted to skip it completely, you could.
Well, that's true. And what I did is I just went, if I found the UGG version, I didn't worry about picking up the other version. So that's what I tried to do, you know. So, I mean, whatever.
So you don't have a full set of the holograms then, the blue ones?
Well, no, I don't, because some of them are silver, because they're the UGG versions.
Oh, well, man. You had to do what I was doing then, which was collecting enough to make a chess set.
You know, that's a topic for another show, but I actually love chess sets. And we had a listener that sent us an email. And I had a picture of his room, and he had a kick-ass chess set that I was drooling over. I had never seen it before.
Yeah, it was actual 3 3/4 figures.
Is that what they were?
Yeah, I think it was. It was a custom board, and he had done 3 3/4 figures and made either custom stands or adapted some other kind of stand, I believe.
No, this was a boxed image.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, it was a boxed image.
An entirely different email we got.
Oh, okay. But anyway, so yeah, we had the Imperial Shuttle re-release, and then the AT-AT, that was a big re-release, and I am really upset to tell you all that I missed it, and I can't find one, so anybody out there?
Oh, they're gone now. All
oh, yeah, they're totally gone.
Right, they're all gone.
So you don't
I missed it intentionally.
No, you know what? I am cursed with the AT-AT, because I've wanted one since... you know, friggin' 1982 or whatever, whenever it initially came out. And I was, of course, I was the poor kid in the neighborhood. I never got one. And to this day, I'm just cursed. I'm never going to have one. I'm just, that's the way it is.
Well, if I found one, maybe it's missing the missiles, would you want it?
I got one that's only got three legs.
Oh, no, seriously, I got one sitting here in front of me that one of my clients gave me. It's got no missiles, and the little protective pieces on the side of the guns are missing. But
is it vintage or is it new?
No, it's the 87 version or whatever it was.
Oh, wow.
Or 97, I mean.
We'll have to talk after the show about that, maybe.
All right. We'll see if I can hook you up.
Dan, Jason. Yeah, go ahead.
You'll have to come down here. I got a buddy of mine. He's got the prototype. Oh, first shot.
All right. Oh,
keep on rubbing it in, you know?
Yeah, I got a guy too, all right? I got a So Dan, any last thoughts on Hasbro 2006?
I think it was a great year. You know, for like I said, for being a non-movie year, we got a lot of characters that we never saw before. A lot of repaints and repacks, of course, but it was a nice mix. And it looks like we're going to follow the same trend next year.
Well, and so, fans got to help choose a character for next year, too.
Yeah. I was wondering if somebody was going to bring that
I'm
up.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, Dan, no, Dan cool. If you'd have gone onto this page and added the show notes we asked you to do. Well, yeah, so go ahead and tell us. This was unprecedented.
Well, yeah, the biggest thing for me, anyway, especially the past few months, has been the fact that for the first time, Hasbro really opened up the doors for the fans and said to pick which characters we'd like to see brought back. And that'll be part of the Saga Legends line next year. And that was a huge promotion for everybody, really, for Hasbro, for Lucasfilm, for us, for fans. And overall, I think it was a pretty successful experience, and I had a lot of fun with it, really.
It looked like you had a lot of fun with it, and a lot of work, too.
You know, I did. It was a lot of work, but, you know, like I said to Dustin earlier, is it work if you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Exactly.
But and the idea initially was to kind of go back and see, you know, which are the favorite figures, which are the best of the best type of thing. But a lot of the fans decided, hey, well, I'm going to pick the ones that I can't find. I want to pick my troop builders. I want to have my armies. And even that line, though, when you look at it now, you get the final list, which we posted a few weeks ago. That's a nice mix of characters, too. You know, there's characters for kids, there's characters for collectors, there's troop builders, there's droids, there's pilots for the ships. And that's actually an important thing, too, because when you get the ships, you got to have the pilot that goes with it.
That's yeah. right. Yeah.
And a lot of times they don't do that. Do you know that the AT-ST and the AT-ST driver have never been available at the same time at retail?
That's
one
of
the other.
That's...
Ever.
The other more important thing is the pilot actually has to fit, like in.
Well, that's another subject. Yeah.
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 The AT-ST with pilot those... is exclusive for next year, though, right?
Yeah, right. The Kit Fisto's Starfire that. He doesn't yeah. have a pilot.
And he doesn't have a T either.
It doesn't have a T.
You know, I'd like to see Hasbro do a vehicle contest at some point. And maybe
we can't really talk about that right now, guys.
Oh. Okay, all right.
Tune in next year.
Moving on.
Let's just say that a future Fan's Choice poll tournament, well, it won't be a tournament. I won't be doing the tournament again.
Never.
It has been discussed. I enjoyed the tournament. Some people enjoyed it, but there were a lot of people that did not. So
wait, Star Wars fans were complaining about something?
Yeah.
Are you sure, Dan?
I'm taking a been there, done that attitude and, you know, move on to something else. And we've got some ideas for next year that should we do something like this again, I think people will enjoy.
Are you sure we can't get a Rebel Scum sticker on that Dark Trooper figure? Maybe a Rebel Scum blue card.
Oh.
All right. Well, we did. Now, I don't know if we know what the fallout from this has been yet. And we'll throw it out here. I think this is one of Dustin's topics. What do we know about Master Replica and the Corgi buyout? Has anything really changed?
We haven't heard anything since they made that announcement, really.
Yeah.
They're still operating, but.
I mean, it certainly hasn't slowed down news coming out of Master Replicas.
No, they still got their blog going over there, and
so let's hope that you know, it's just a name thing and a logo thing, but the branding and all remains the same, and at least the products that we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, could you get used to a Corgi lightsaber?
Oh, I don't know.
It doesn't
right,
really
does
have
it?
The same ring that Master Replica
is it very
does.
Small?
You could actually carry it in your purse or the palm of your hand.
Is it a Welsh Corgi lightsaber?
Corgi.
All right, so you guys were all at, now Pete and I were not, but I think all three of you were at San Diego Comic-Con, right?
No.
Not me.
Oh, okay.
I've never been.
Okay, just Dustin then.
Yes, I was the only one there.
Oh, okay.
Just Dustin, and out then I listened in on one panel, I think via Dustin.
Okay.
Yeah, I had him in on
don't
the...
Don't bring that up, Jay.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Here's the story real quick, folks. I was in the Dark Horse panel, and I had the phone right next to the speaker so Jay could hear everything that was going on and report it firsthand, you know, so everybody could know what Dark Horse had announced and talked about at the show. Well, at the same time, Mark Ray is in the Hasbro presentation and is supposed to be calling Dan, who took a day off from work, came home to, you know, do the same thing that Jay was doing, but Mark never called Dan, and Dan's trying to call Mark, and Dan's trying to call Mark, and Dan's getting pissed off, and he's calling other people on the team, and why aren't they there? Yeah. Needless to say, what happened was, they weren't allowing any cell phones to be, any phone calls to be made during the Hasbro presentation. So that was the excuse, you know. So Mark comes out and he's all like, "Hey guys, what's going on?" And we're all like, "Oh man, he's looking to rip, you know, he's going to rip your head off."
Yeah, because I had no idea.
Yeah, because he's,
you know, this
he's
was all set up the night before, and you know, thankfully it did work for the Dark Horse stuff, but you know, I was kind of waiting for the Hasbro, and I had announced it up on the front page in anticipation of having this live update that the key element was now missing.
Yeah. Live, half an hour later.
Yeah. Oops.
We need to put.
Although we did make up for it, the next day, I had Mark run around from booth to booth asking the people questions. So we did have a live Q&A session on the site as he ran around from vendor to vendor.
You made him suffer.
Bye,
Mark.
We need to put a book together. You might be a Star Wars geek if you have ever listened to a comic book panel via cell phone from a friend of yours, you just might be a Star Wars geek.
And then I had him send me a photo, too, so I was photo at the same time.
Oh, don't you just love this virtual reality that is available?
The things we see, that's the things we do, man. That's what we love doing.
That's right.
We do it for you guys, the listener. We run around Comic-Con taking pictures, making phone calls.
Well, when you were at Comic-Con, Dustin, you got to, I mean, this was kind of a big event for you, obviously, the presidency, but you got to kind of MC the fan film, the fan choice, fan film awards, right?
I didn't get to MC.
You presented.
I presented one of the awards, yes. So, you know, there was an MC, I believe it was Sansweet, and he introduced me, and I went up and read a few lines and introduced the award winners for best comedy. So it was for the Atom Film Awards. It was fun. Go ahead.
Did they write you funny lines to say while you were up there since it was the comedy award?
No, that was me.
Oh.
No. Jay, did you write it or? No.
Jay is our own Bruce Valanche. For the...
No.
Oh, please, guys, stop. I just saw him in Ice Pirates the other night. Yeah, awesome.
Fantastic movie. Ice Pirates. Oh, never mind.
No, I believe they did have something for me to read, so I just had to spit it out. And
did they cheer for you, or did you get
actually
booed?
Surprisingly, yes, there was a lot of cheering. I don't remember hearing too many boos, but it was bigger than I thought. I mean, there was like 4,000 people there, and I was
wow.
I didn't think there'd be that many there on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock, but it was quite a crowd, and I had a blast doing it. It was fun to meet everybody and you know, shake some hands. And
well, so then you're just one of a handful of people that actually saw the gentle giant Slave Leia before the changes.
Oh my God! Yes.
Now, when you saw that, did you think there's no way this can be the final product?
I was actually hoping it was going to be the final product.
I think we all were.
We were very surprised to see it because, you know, we got in there early to help set up the official picks booth, and you know, we're walking around and we talked to the different vendors that are always there and the licensees and stuff, and we walk over to their booth and they're setting up everything and they've got this Leia on display and it's on a spinning base. So you can see all sides of it, you know, as it goes around. And when that backside came around, you were like, whoa, what is that?
Well, if we have to tell you what it is.
It was quite revealing. And, you know, and I think it was the next day after Carrie Fisher had showed up that it stopped spinning. So I'm guessing she might have had something to do with that.
Well, that would that'd be interesting. I wonder if that's.
I'm surprised to see that it's coming out. I'm guessing the backside is covered up pretty good now if they are still releasing it.
But yeah, it kind of looks.
Yeah, change was made.
Okay.
Dan, have you seen new photos?
I've seen the official photos from the finished prototype. It has changed.
Okay. Huh. I wonder.
Sigh of despair.
Those photos didn't show the backside, though, did it, Dan?
What's that?
Did those photos show the backside?
I don't know. Let me check.
Well, while he's
kind of wasn't looking for the back.
Well, we just have 2 minutes of silence. Just
why? I don't know that I ever looked.
While he's checking that, let's talk for a minute about Sideshow. And let's talk about the new scale figures. I mean, this was kind of a big deal. You had a major licensee like Hasbro decide, you know what, I don't know if they didn't feel they were getting the job done right. It wasn't profitable. Something happened. And they made, I think, a very brave and very good decision in turning the reins over to the 12-inch line or the 1/6 scale to Sideshow. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that before.
Well, there's something with the Hasbro that people should keep in mind, I guess, is that those are toys for kids, for mass market, whereas Sideshow is not. They're more high-end collectible, really museum-quality pieces.
Neither's Gentle Giant, by the way.
What's that?
I said neither's Gentle Giant, by the way.
Speaking this particular
for
one,
kids,
no.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely a huge, huge difference. And I mean, you can see it. There's no comparison between the two.
So Dan, I mean, I know a little bit about how licensing works, and when you you can get a license for a particular property, and it's defined by what type of product you're making. I mean, we had a situation with the tins. They couldn't be lunch boxes because Hasbro didn't have the license to create what could be classified as a lunchbox. And in the case of these 12-inch figures, they had to then kind of, sub-license out the rights to make a figure in that scale? Is that what it was?
I believe so. Yeah, Hasbro owns the license for action figures, regardless of the scale.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that's why they do a lot of different things, like anything from the Galactic Heroes line to the 12-inch figures. That's why Code 3, if you remember the Republic gunship a few years back, they had figures, but they were not articulated in any way, shape, or form. They had to get permission from Hasbro to include those. Remember the Yoda with the clone trooper on the little landing pad? They had to get specific permission from Hasbro because they hold the license for figures, regardless of
scale. That's why you don't see a Lego set of minifigs.
Right.
I remember somebody mentioning that to me. Like, you just don't see the minifigs in a set, that you have to buy them with the whole box, you know what I mean?
Well, what about the Kubricks? Is that because it's not U.S.?
Different country.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, each country gets their own individual license.
Interesting.
Yeah, is Kubricks? No, I'm not so familiar with them, but they're not available in the U.S., right? They're only available overseas?
Only through e-tailers. I mean, you can get them.
Yeah, they're not imported.
Right. Imported.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You can't pick them up at Target, you know.
Well, I'm actually in love with this line of 1/6 scale figures. This is I've got just about every one. You've heard me complain and moan about the occasionally about one that I've missed, but or boycotted. And or Rebel Trooper. Good God.
I tell you, I got a look at these at Toy Fair last year, and they were just prototypes at the time, but I was blown away. Just the quality was like, wow, I can't believe how much detail they're putting into these.
Yeah, Sideshow.
I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of Sideshow because I don't want to get started.
I'm afraid of Sideshow. That's a shirt.
I'm afraid of that credit card bill, though, when that Job of the Hutt set ships.
Oh, my God. It looks so nice, though.
Yes, it
does. They had that in San Diego on display. It looks really sharp with everything else. Oh, man.
Well, I think we'll come and visit yours.
Yeah, we'll come look at yours, okay?
Yeah, I'm gonna be living in it.
Yeah, that's right. As long as I can sleep on it, I'll be fine.
It'll be my bed. I hope it's... I'm about that size. I'm not much bigger than that.
Have to curl up in the fetal position. So.
Well, okay, let's move on, and let's talk about the ever-expanding universe, a topic near and dear to Jay Shepard's heart. And Jay, let's talk about probably, well, let's ask you, what do you think is the biggest moment in the EU for 2006?
Wow. Well, there have been, depending on what front we're talking about, either comics or books, we've had a number of different things. Probably just biggest in scope so far, I guess, would be this year was Dark Horse Comics' 20th anniversary. They've been publishing comics since 1986, when they started out with Boris the Bear and the Aliens license, I believe, at the time. And so what they decided to do, which was, they're not as transparent as like Hasbro is sometimes, whereas, you know, stuff gets leaked from Hasbro, and we know 6-8 months in advance what's coming. And I think that also has to do with the time frame that it takes to produce action figures. Right. We don't know really, except for about 3 months in advance, maybe four, what's coming out from them. So what we heard end of last year was, oh, you know, they're canceling Empire, they're canceling Republic, and you know, we're going to do something new next year. And we're like, uh-oh. Hmm. You know, it's like, for me personally, it's like Republic, which I thought was doing a great job. And it's, yeah, you know, it was getting up into the low 80s. And it's like, oh, they're going to, you know, they're finally going to beat Marvel and, you know, have a 110th comic book. And then they're going to cancel it. So what they announced was that for their 20th anniversary, they came out with four brand new series spanning four different time frames. And these were released throughout the year. We had Knights of the Old Republic, Rebellion, Legacy, and then Dark Times. And these are four new ongoing series, and you know, they're fabulous. I mean, I think Legacy is the one that is catching a lot of interest, as well as you know, just the casual people picking it up, saying, "Oh, well, what is this?" I mean, there's this Luke Skywalker, or this aired Luke Skywalker way somewhere in the future. What's going on with this? And so there's a, you know, we got people who are on kind of both sides of liking that and saying, "Okay, this is kind of silly. It's how long is the Skywalker line, you know, going to go on?" Knights of the Old Republic is a great series. It takes place just about 9 years before the video games, and has all sorts of cool stuff going on there. Again, a lot of fan reaction for people who are fans of the video games. They're saying, you know, they're trying to second guess the writer and saying, oh, I think this person's going to be Darth Revan or something like that. And, you know, coming up with all these weird situations. And then Dark Times takes over from Republic. And what's cool about it is it was Dark Times number one, but if you look at the fine print inside the cover, it says the first issue, actually, I don't think it was in the first issue. It might have just been in the second issue on. It says that it's a continuation of the Republic series, so it's continuing the numbering of Republic. Mm. And Rebellion's doing the same thing for the Empire line, and it's continuing the numbering from that.
Have there been two issues of Dark Times already, Jay?
Actually, no.
Okay.
But by the time this airs, there will be a second issue.
Oh, okay.
I'm print of issue number two.
Well, I'd say out of those, I know I'm consistently reading Legacy and consistently reading Rebellion and Dark Times. Of course, there's
okay,
only
I'm
one.
Have
so
to
that's
yes, because you're not consistently reading Rebellion because it took 5 or 6 months for the fifth issue.
That's true. I'm consistently reading what they're inconsistently putting out.
Exactly. Yeah, I know I've heard you guys talk about Legacy before. I've heard you read viewer mail from that. And, I mean, I think John Ostrander and Jan Dersima do just a phenomenal job on that and have, you know, crafted a tale that is not it's not the Star Wars that we grew up with. It's a new Star Wars for a new age, but it's worthy of the mantle Star Wars.
I absolutely think so, but don't you think, Jay, they've taken some of the elements and some of the you know, the conventions of Star Wars and just twisted them enough to where it's I think it's still very recognizable as Star Wars.
Oh, I think no, of course. I think it is recognizable. I mean, you pick it up and if it didn't have the Star Wars title on it, you'd know that it was Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, all the stories, a lot of the comics and a lot of the books, I won't say all of them because I'm sure anyone can find something that's not this. But, I mean, you know, you've got the X-Wing series. Okay, so we've got some fighter pilots and then we've got a guy. Okay, he's not quite a Jedi, but he's getting Jedi powers and we watch him grow, and that's Coran Horn. You know, so the elements that you see in the films, which are, again, you know, those kind of mythic elements, you break them down to their base elements, and then you kind of rebuild stuff up. You know, there's some stuff in there that I'm not crazy about, like every Sith is red and tattooed.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of sexy, though, you know? At least on the girl.
Okay, yeah.
That's why he's a Darth Maul fan.
Yeah. But, you know, you can do that to an extent, but and you do it as a comic artist. It's a very visual medium, and you need the reader to be able to identify with characters right off the bat. You can't just have, a bunch of guys in cloaks running around on the panel, it gets too hard to tell who's who. So you need to really differentiate the good guys from the bad guys. And they've done that.
Yeah.
Good point. And,
yeah, so, you know, there's stuff like that. I think Knights of the Old Republic, I'm surprised you aren't reading that. I mean, Pete, I don't know how much you read, but I know you're a big fan of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been keeping up on Knights of the Old Republic as well.
Okay.
And, I would say that it's turned a little bit for me in the last couple of issues, where it is taking on that idea that you were talking about of being able to pick it up and just know it's Star Wars. I think in the first couple issues it was a little bit disjointed for me, but you know it has now kind of moved along and it's really started to pick up momentum in the last couple of issues. So
yeah, definitely. With any first couple issues of any series,
sure,
it takes a while for people to for the writer to get into his characters and, you know, build the story and get the elements that he wants out, and then develop the rhythm that's going to be, you know, the story arcs and everything like that. And I mean, what I like about this, I visit the Dark Horse message boards a lot, and the editors, the artists, the writers, they're on the boards. You have questions, it's like John Jackson Miller, who writes Knights of the Old Republic, he's on the boards. You have a question, he's willing to answer it. I mean, they take ideas from what people say, and, you know, I think they actually listen. I saw this happen during the Republic series where, you know, people were saying, oh, I want to see, you know, more Mandalorians, or I want to see fleet battles, and, you know, you kind of start to see some of this stuff manifest itself in the comic, and then Randy Stradley gets on and says, you know, okay, now you guys have seen it, so shut up. So these series that are out now, it's going to just continue on in the future, and just to clarify things for people that are going out and saying, oh, I want to find Dark Times now, or I want to find Rebellion, Knights of the Old Republic and Legacy are going to be actual monthly issues, while Dark Times and Rebellion are going to kind of leapfrog their storyline. So when Dark Times is being published, which is what's going on currently, Rebellion is going to be on hiatus until the end of that series. So you're going to have to look to find out what's going on with that. But they're always publishing the trade paperbacks and stuff, so people can catch up that way.
Yeah, that's a good point, because, you know, up until this year, I've been keeping up with the monthly books. But this year I made a decision to jump to the trade paperbacks, and a lot of the stuff with Legacy, I haven't been reading, so I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah, I kind of envy you in that, because what I was telling one of my coworkers who's also reading Legacy, and Legacy is kind of unprecedented in Star Wars comics right now. They have just gone back and done a third printing of the first and second issues, as well as a second printing of the third issue.
Wow.
So that hasn't happened since Dark Empire 1, which was, what, 95, 94, something like that?
What do you make of that, Jay?
The popularity of this is reaching more people. I mean, unless they're printing smaller runs of these, you know, issues, which I doubt, back in the heyday of kind of comic collecting, when I was getting into it in the 80s, when, like, comics were getting hot again, I mean, you know, everyone would always go out and buy number ones, and then drop the issue, so you don't need to try number ones. I don't think that is happening now as much, so I think the number one sells probably a little bit more. The people can check out an issue and see if they like it, but obviously they've sold out an original printing and then a second printing, so it's, you know, hopefully that popular, which is good. It's sending a good signal, hopefully, to Dark Horse that, you know, people are reading this and want to continue reading this and get more content, because they don't have movies to go to, so you got your comics, you got books, you got some hopefully TV and video games and stuff. But what I was going to say was that I kind of envy Dan being able to read the trade paperback, because I just got the fifth chapter of the Legacy 6-part arc that's going on right now, you know, and it kind of ends on a cliffhanger, and
it sure does.
With the way they've been publishing, it's going to be a little more than a month before the next one comes out. I think it's coming out after the beginning of the year. And, you know, I want to know what happens next. Well, if I had the trade paperback in front of me, I could just read it.
Right.
And so that's cool, but I can't wait. Yeah, but I can't wait. I can't not have something on a monthly basis now and wait for that trade paperback. So I guess I'm kind of hooked onto it in the monthly. And it would be cheaper for me to buy trade paperbacks. I mean, I know that, but I don't know.
I used to be the opposite. I used to
get the trade paperbacks, but then I went to the monthlies because I like the different artwork, the different covers. You know what I mean? That was my thing. So,
well, I just there's something tactile about the. Well, I think the trade paperbacks are getting better, but the glue ends up falling out on some of my older ones, and they fall apart, and they do look nice on the shelf.
How are you doing your comics?
I'm breaking the spine, obviously, when I open them up to get to see the center gatefold that they've got in there or something like that. But Legacy's great because it's got such a great storyline going right now. I want to really see what happens next.
Well, Dan, how committed do you think Hasbro is with the expanded universe?
I tell you, they're. It's kind of an exciting time, almost like a movie year in a way, because, for the past few years, Hasbro's been sort of, I don't want to say limited, but they've been tied into these prequel films. And if you remember, right before The Phantom Menace came out is when they released their first Expanded Universe line back in late 98. So they were just starting to tap into that, and then they sort of had to put it on hold for 9 years. for the prequel movies to come out. And I can tell you they're excited to get back into it. I mean, we've seen a number of Expanded Universe figures this year. If you remember the Fans Choice fan poll that Toy Fair ran this year, it's like dominated by Expanded Universe characters. And in fact, Darth Revan is the character that will be made from that poll.
The prototype looks awesome, too.
It does, yeah. And I think that's coming out next year in Wave 5, so, look for that. But next year, too, there's going to be more Expanded Universe characters kind of sprinkled in to the main 30th Anniversary Collection line, plus the Expanded Universe comic packs, which has been changed from 12 to 15 sets now. And even going back to Saga Legends, Expanded Universe character took that as the ultimate winner. So there's a huge support for the EU, and I think we'll see more of it.
Now, Dan, do you think that these two packs are going to be really? Are they really committing to this in terms of new sculpts, or is it going to be just new paint apps to make them look like they're from the comic?
Well, like we've seen in other lines, again, it's going to be a mix.
Okay.
The first one that we had, of course, was. Came out this year with Connor Jackson and Kirk Kanos. That was, the old Royal Guard from Revenge of the Sith, kind of tweaked and had some new parts added to it. Then the next three that come out are fortunately, unfortunately, repaints of existing figures from the Marvel Comics series. But once we get into the Dark Horse line, we're going to see some brand new sculpts. So the characters, while they've been rumored for some time, they haven't been officially announced. They will be. Quinlan Voss is one. Mary Jade is another one. Those are the two that have been announced.
I think Villy's one of the rumored
brand new.
What was that, Jay?
I was going to say, I think I saw today that Vilmar Grock, or Villy, is one of the rumored figures as well, the Deveronian from Republic.
Yep.
Well, we were talking about the Legacy, the Legacy series, and those would be some figures that I would love to get.
And it would be great for Hasbro to make Wolf Sazen because he only has one arm, so it's like, half the cost.
I think it's a little early for Legacy figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that is probably true. They are going back quite a ways for these Expanded Universe ones that they're doing right now.
If the recent history is any indication, if Legacy continues to be a strong title into the next couple of years, maybe we'll see them.
Yeah, and it's, the Expanded Universe is an untapped mine. I think part of their hesitancy to go this route is, okay, there are a bunch of characters that nobody really knows what they look like. But then again, here are a bunch of characters nobody knows what they look like. You guys can make them as an action figure for the first time.
Well, and that's funny because that brings us into the situation with the books. And I wanted to ask you, Jay, you covered pretty much what was going on in 2006 in terms of the comics, but let's turn to the books. And there's maybe some confusion out there for some casual fans because you got a Legacy series of comic books and you also have Star Wars Legacy. So,
right. To help people understand what the difference is, okay, the comic series is called Legacy. And it takes place in an era called the Legacy Era. Now, the Legacy Era spans 40 years after New Hope through the distant future. The Legacy comics take place at, I think the first issue is like 130 years out, and then issues 2 through current is about 137 years out. The books that are being published right now are the Legacy of the Force line. So we've got Legacy in comics, Legacy of the Force in books, and Legacy of the Force is a 9-book series. It's kind of a scaled-down version of how they tried to do the New Jedi Order series, and I was not really looking forward to this series. I don't want to say I didn't like New Jedi Order, because there was a lot of stuff about New Jedi Order that I liked, but what I liked about it was not the hardcovers, which were like the event books. I liked the personal stories that ended up coming out through the paperbacks. Mm-hmm. And when that ended in 2003, I was like, okay. And then they did the Darkness trilogy, which was And so they're okay. So they're starting another new series. Great. So that's, I know there's 9 books that I'm going to be committed to getting here and everything. So, but the first book, Betrayal, that came out earlier this year, which is available in hardcover. And, when this podcast airs, people should have just about another month, I think, to wait for the paperback release of that. It knocked my socks off. We've got 3 authors. We've got, I'm going to get this wrong. We've got Aaron Alston. We've got Karen Travis. And then we've got Troy Denning. And they're rotating through these 9 books. So each one's going to get a chance to do 2 paperbacks and a hardcover. Aaron Alston did the Betrayal hardcover. And this again, is about 40 years after A New Hope. It takes place after the Yuuzhan Vong invasion. And it focuses on Jason Solo and you know, what he learned through the New Jedi Order series and his exploration of the Force. And I don't think this will be spoiling anything for anybody, but he's on a kind of dark path right now, and it's not looking too good. But it's really solid. I think because they have a smaller group of books to work in, they didn't have to kind of reach and go out as far to do a lot of periphery stuff with characters that, you know, we may not care about. They kind of keep it concentrated on the core characters and the family. And now we've got Jason Solo included in that. Ben Skywalker is a big player in it, as well as, you know, Han and Luke and Leia and Mara.
Well, I read the first one, and I mean, you know, Dustin said earlier that, you know, he prefers the original trilogy. For anybody who may have been disappointed in the big why as far as Anakin Skywalker's turn to the dark side, if you read Betrayal, it's much more of a fulfilling reason why someone would turn to the dark side.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty satisfying. And then, I mean, the second book, for Boba Fett fans, I mean, Karen Travis continues kind of her Mandalorian-influenced writing in the Star Wars universe. But what I had to keep thinking to myself as I'm reading this, okay, this is 40 years after Star Wars, we got like the 72 or 75-year-old Boba Fett running around, and he's finally, he's kind of dealing with his mortality in it. That was, I was like, who needs another Boba Fett story? I mean, we keep kind of changing what Boba Fett is in the expanded universe. You know, first he was this mysterious guy, and now he's a clone, and he's, you know, coming to terms with his cloneness, I guess. But, it's like, wow. I mean, there really was some interesting stuff that she did with the character that I didn't think, you know, was possible.
So there is room for another Boba Fett story?
I think so. I mean, well, after this, I mean, I'm going to see what they're going to do with it through the rest of the series. I have not had a chance to read Tempest yet. Hopefully by the time the end of the year comes around here, I'll have finished it finally. So I don't know if there's much Boba Fett stuff going on in that one, but it sounds like Boba Fett's going to continue through the rest of the Legacy of the Force series, and one way or another, I think we're going to have to resolve something with him in terms of a character and his place in the universe, and he and Han, you know, and their kind of animosity toward each other, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've only read Betrayal so far.
Okay.
And
yeah, too far behind. So
yeah. What was that? A pfft, Did I hear it? Somebody's. Anyway, but it is. I think that it's really, really cool. I love the fact that the tension that they build between the families is fantastic. It's very and it's done very believably.
Well, they're trying not to. You don't get the payoff in the first book. I mean, and they're trying to, I think, stretch us out over, you know, the whole arc. It's not like you can just, like with New Jedi Order, you could kind of just read the hardcovers and get the gist of the galactic battle. With this one, I think you kind of need to go in and, you know, there's a little bit more that's continued in between the hardcovers and the paperbacks. And they're, you know, they kind of build on the events that happened in the first one and continue on with that. So it'll be interesting to see where they're going with this.
And so this is going to continue how far through, into 2007? All the way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is going to go through 2008.
Oh, really? Okay.
Or even the beginning of 2009, I think. Wow. I don't have my release list up.
So they're very much committed to this then.
Obviously. Yeah. I mean, they've got these 9 books. They've got, I mean, into the future, Del Rey's got a Timothy Zahn book coming out in February of 2007. They've got a Death Star novel planned for mid-year, I think, next year, if not first or second quarter. Right now it's just called Death Star, but it's by Michael Reeves. And then there's a series that was pushed back from this year, I believe. They swapped Legacy of the Force and decided to run with that and push this other series back called Coruscant Knights, which is like a 3-part story about something going on in Coruscant. I think it's a prequel trilogy, or a prequel trilogy of books.
Well, while we're on the subject of expanded universe, it kind of dovetails into gaming. I'm not a huge gamer. I know you guys have heard me say that, but I'm just because I'm not coordinated. Really, is what it is. I'm not even virtually coordinated. So, Pete, I know Pete is my hero as far as gaming because he can play and beat a game within days, and that's just like a magic trick to me. So, I mean, what was your best gaming moment this year?
Well, we had the 2 major releases, that being Lego Star Wars II, the original trilogy, which was an interesting event because it played on the original Lego Star Wars movie, video game, which was didn't really show up on the radar for very many people when it was slated for release, and it just kind of went on, but there were so many people that liked it, and it took such an interesting spin on the game or on the universe itself that it really got a lot of momentum, and people then, you know, really bought into it, and LucasArts stepped it up a little bit with the second release and really made a great game that again steps on top of what had already been done, which everyone had liked, but then added a bunch of new things to it as well. And then we also had the PC release of Empire at War, which was the strategy-based game.
And you're just starting to get into that.
Yeah, you know, the price came down, and I thought, you know what, I really need to get that. So that's got a lot of different things to it that make it a lot of fun. It's a different take on the universe. And, you know, like we were saying last week, you know, we have the board games that you can still play. But if you ever get stuck where you're somebody, you know, when you're by yourself, this is a good title to have because you can do all the things in the Star Wars universe that you want to do strategy wise and you know, find out what it's like to be the general or the commander of the rebel forces and or the commander of the Empire and just manipulate the forces how you want them. So
and didn't that come out with a expansion pack as well this year?
Yes, and they also added the Forces of Corruption expansion pack where you could add in being a smuggler or a bounty hunter, I believe, to the additional factions that you could already play. So, LucasArts, like we talked about in the article a couple weeks ago, they have a good mix of staying with the franchises that they know work, but also trying out some new things. So I think they are going to stick with this Empire at War. They're going to keep building on Star Wars Galaxies. You know, and then we're going to see, obviously, Star Wars 07, the yet-to-be-titled next-gen game, which is the one that kind of has everyone salivating about what the opportunities are going to be there. So,
what about Lethal Alliance? I can't remember if that's out yet or not.
I don't believe that's out as of yet.
That when this airs, it will have been out.
It will have been out, yes.
December 12th, December. I think it's the official
release. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's today.
Yeah.
When we're recording
this.
So.
Just came out.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. And that's available for the DS, Nintendo DS, and Sony PSP.
Right.
Okay.
So, obviously, they know where their bread is buttered, so to speak. And in the absence of a movie, they're going to go with the figures and the games, which are their two big their two big things. So,
well, and if LucasArts is listening, I'm going to use this moment to say Republic Commando 2. I don't want to see Battlefront 3 would be nice if they decide to do that, but Republic Commando 2 is, I think that's where it should be at.
I will say platforms. That I believe that they Battlefront 3 is something that's already in the works, along with a Knights of the Old Republic title that they're probably going to do too. So,
which is unbeknownst to our former Cantina guest, Drew Karpyshyn. he told us there's absolutely nothing in the works, but
right. Well, I think they're still in the early planning stages with a lot of that stuff, but. I would be very surprised if there wasn't a follow-up to the Republic Commando series, just because, A, it was pretty popular, and, B, there's a lot of unexplored area there, not only within that game itself, but also within that type of game.
Well, heck, they even spun it off into a novel, right, or a series of novels.
Yeah,
right?
A series of novels. And
yeah, there are two novels out currently. They're working. Karen Travis is working on a third Republic Commando. They've been featured in Star Wars Tales, the comic book, as well as the Clone War Adventure comic book or comic digests.
And they're going to be their own figures as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, another EU entry into the figures that's due out in February, I believe. Is that right, Dan?
Yeah.
I already have mine. All right. Ordered.
Okay.
Well, one of the things, moving along here, one of the things that I thought would be interesting to cover, and it was a suggestion, do we know, I know of one, can you think of, we should have some sappy music playing, can you think of any Star Wars actors or Star Wars celebs, personalities that we lost this year?
Phil Brown.
Well, oh, that's right, that was 06, early 06, right?
February 10th.
Okay. And I had Admiral Ozzel.
Michael Sheard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Anybody else have anyone? Or can think of anyone? And I mean, Admiral Ozzel, or pardon me, Michael Sheard, was at C3.
So was Ralph Brown.
Ralph Brown was.
Ralph Phil Brown. No, I'm not, yeah. Phil, not Phil Brown. I remember there was a Brown there.
No, yeah. Phil Brown.
Could have been the Cleveland Uncle Brown, for all I know.
You're in the Rebel Scum Suite, you wouldn't make that mistake.
Yes.
Oh.
Ooh, thanks, Jay.
Well, so at least those two, and we should have, like, this should be a video podcast where we show them in slow motion, you know, and play the sappy music. But so we did lose a couple of actors, and hopefully, you know, the Cantina segments is this show continues to grow and we get more Star Wars celebrities and personalities in there, will kind of, in a way, act as a little archive of some of these actors, which would be great.
That'd be really cool.
One of the old Marvel Comics cover artists just passed away recently, Dave Cockrum.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'd done a number of the covers on several Marvel comics and was probably best well known for actually doing the X-Men run, early Chris Claremont run.
Mm. Well, and of course, that's sad. But let's start with, we'll go around, we're going to kind of wrap things up. We're going to go ahead and go around and talk about what was your own personal best Star Wars moment of 2006. We're going to start with the president, the office of the president. Dustin, what was the best Star Wars moment you had in 06?
It's got to be that one sunny afternoon in June when I got a phone call notifying me that I was the possible winner of the contest. And I had to wait like 10 days and not tell anybody until they really announced it. And it was just killing me. That was my best moment in 2006. Star Wars related.
Dan, how about you?
Wow.
do you want to pass?
Recent memory. Yeah. In recent memory, I mean, it has to be the Saga Legends tournament, you know. Just,
yeah.
Being asked by Hasbro specifically to organize that. And, you know, the next few months, that it pretty much dominated my life. But, you know, that was fun. I enjoyed it. I look forward to possibly doing it again.
Jay?
Well, 2006 found me searching eBay again for the Archie Goodwin hardcover trilogy comic strip reprints. And I had never seen it. These were like these limited edition hardcover reprints that it was kind of like the one kind of comic thing that I don't have. And someone posted them. I'm like, whatever it takes, man, I am going to buy these because they never show up on eBay. I can never find them. And for a really reasonable price and much cheaper than they went for originally, I was able to get the three hardcovers of the Archie Goodwin comic strips, which were like, I think there were only like 1,500 of those made. So that was a big moment for me this year.
Cool.
Pete. Sweet.
Well, obviously, for me, it's definitely getting involved in the podcast and with the crew at Force.net and Rebel Scum and finally kind of leaping over. And instead of just being this peripheral fan who talks about it with my friends but doesn't really get into the forums, doesn't really email people very much, and just kind of stays on the outside, to finally kind of diving headfirst
into the deep end?
Into a pool that I didn't know how deep it was. To do this and to really be embraced by the Star Wars community and just have so much fun and feel like I've gotten to know so many more people just from the few weeks of doing this. I mean, that's been just an absolute incredible ride for me so far. So,
well, and that's mine too. I would say if I had to narrow it down to a moment, would be when Dustin actually replied to my email. And I realized, hey, we might actually, I mean, we might actually stand a shot at this. We just might. So we're gonna go around again and talk about what are you most looking forward to in 2007. It's a big year, really big year. So, Dustin, let's start with you. What are you looking most forward to in 07?
Oh, it's got to be Celebration 4. That's where the party's at.
Right.
I am so looking forward to it. It's you know, like I said, these things are like family reunions for me, so I'm going to get to see all my friends. We get to geek out for a week on Star Wars and just, you know, enjoy the hobby and the community that surrounds it. It's going to be great. I hope to see you there. So if you don't have tickets yet, go get them.
All right. Jay?
Yeah, C4 is going to be definitely a big thing, but I got to say, with the hype that Hyperspace is pushing right now, that Star Wars 07 video game looks really cool. I want to see what they're going to do with that, because I hear it's going to span multiple franchises, kind of the way that Shadows of the Empire did. So there's probably some comics and some toys and stuff that may be coming with that as well.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one too. Dan?
Well, I'm going to chime in with C4 too, for pretty much the same reasons that Dustin said, because I've worked on quite a few websites over the years, and I never get to, well, I never even met half the people I correspond with on a daily basis, but when I go to these shows, I mean, the past two celebrations are any indication, it's like a big family reunion of people I've never met, and the weird thing is, sometimes people ask for my autograph, which is a very bizarre experience, but now from it sounds like I'm going to be really looking forward to getting that Legacy trade paperback.
That's cool. Pete?
C4 as well, there's no doubt about it, and it'll be interesting for me only from the standpoint that we did go to C3, but again, I was that peripheral fan. I was just excited to be there. It was the first one I'd ever been to, and now it's going to be a complete flip of where I'm at, and I am going to be just running around like a kid in a candy store, you know, talking to people and getting to know people and enjoying the party and really just embracing everything that it is, as opposed to just being happy to be there. I'm going to really jump into everything that it is. So,
well, I'm actually turning 30 around the same time as Star Wars is turning 30. So I'm hoping to at least spend one night at C4 partying for my 30th birthday. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to starting a new chapter. I'm kind of, in one way, I'm dreading the 30s, and in another way, I'm kind of looking forward to it. So that's my 07.
We'll hook you up.
Yeah. Drinks are on me that night.
There you go.
That's awesome. Well, I can't thank you guys enough. This was a great idea, and it's, I think, a perfect end of a really great year in Star Wars fandom, and I think that we only have great things to look forward to as we move on. I mean, in just a couple of days, this 30th anniversary is kicking off in just a couple of days as this goes live with the Rose Bowl Parade.
That's yep. pretty cool.
So, I mean, they're not wasting any time getting into this. So I want to thank Dustin Roberts, Jay Shepard, Dan Curto, and as always, my good buddy Pete for joining us, and thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Oh, and before, my goodness, Happy New Year to all of our listeners, and thanks for the support, and we're looking forward to bigger and better things next year. So have a safe one and a happy one.
Bye.
Well, that was a lot of fun.
I had a blast.
It was a great discussion. I hope that our listeners got something out of it. I mean, there was nothing new, really. I mean, no earth-shattering news, but it was just kind of fun to look back on the year, especially leading up to what we have to look forward to next year.
Right. Well, and there were some different perspectives that haven't been presented on this show necessarily, and maybe not anywhere else. So we appreciate Jay, Dustin, and Dan coming along with us and just having a good time.
Absolutely.
Just talking Star Wars.
Oh, yes. Yes. Like we do.
And we enjoy.
Right. Happy New Year, everybody, from our family at The Force Cast, TheForce.net, Rebelscum.com, to yours. We want to wish you the happiest of New Year's. We've got a lot to look forward to next year in 07, so I'm excited to get this year behind us and move forward. And speaking of moving forward, we will not be here next week. But we'll have something for you anyway. We're going to take a week off after, well, we had a pretty busy holiday season getting these shows ready. So we're going to take a much needed and hopefully much deserved respite next week. But we'll be back on January 12th with a brand new episode of the Force Cast 2007. Thanks for listening. If you want to send in your comments, you can do so at podcast@theforce.net or give us a call at 330-871-4TFN. We love to get those voicemails. Or if you're on Skype, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be, you can Skype us at username ForceCast. And don't forget about our forums over at rebelscum.com. Happy New Year, everybody. For the ForceCast, I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.